Well, hey, Rock family, we love you guys so much. Tonight, we are honoring volunteers. And I want to know, are there any volunteers in the house tonight? Anybody can just raise your hand up and say, I'm a volunteer, I'm a server in the house. Hey, you guys are the heroes. And tonight is all about you. And we have an exhortation, really, just an encouragement for you guys. Because we're coming into the year 2025, and this is going to be a year of strength. And if you've ever read, not watched the movie, but if you've ever read the book, the Jungle Book, there's a quote in there that says, the strength of the wolf is in the pack, and the strength of the pack is in the wolf. You may have heard a different phrase that says that the chain is only as strong as its weakest link. But the church is not a chain. I would say the church is the gathered group of individuals who make up the body of Christ. And so we're less like a chain, because if that's the case, then we would only be as strong as the weakest person in here, right? But the Bible says, when I'm weak, he is strong. And our strength isn't dependent on ourselves, it's dependent on God. And really, when we talk about unity and gathering together, there are so many things in the Bible that talk about unity. In fact, the Apostle Paul prayed for the church to be in unity. He oftentimes strove with them to be in unity. And in fact, there's some scriptures where the Apostle Paul calls people out by name in his letter. In the scriptures, there's some ladies that were having an argument. He called them out by name and said, hey, I need you girls to get it together. I need you to be in unity. I want you to walk in love with each other. I want you to work these things out. Why? Because we're better together than we are apart. The strength of the wolf is in the pack. And the strength of the pack is in the wolf. We together are better than we are apart. There's a great scripture in Ecclesiastes. Turn there with me to Ecclesiastes. Where'd my notes go? Did they fly away? Did you take them? Oh, they're under my Bible. They were very hidden right there. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Turn there with me. Past the Psalms and the Proverbs, you'll find Ecclesiastes. And in Ecclesiastes chapter number 4, there's a great section of scriptures. And most of the time when we use these scriptures, we use them for weddings. In fact, just yesterday, Pastor Justin and I did a wedding for a great couple in our church, and I was alluding to this. I didn't actually read the scriptures, but tonight we're going to read the scriptures. And many times we think about them in terms of just marriage and that sort of a thing, because it is very applicable, and it is a wonderful thought for marriage. But really, you're not going to find marriage specifically in any of these scriptures. Really, it's talking about a greater principle of unity. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4, I'm going to read verse number 9 through 12. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. You're welcome to read along whatever translation you have. And it says this in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse number 9 through verse number 12 in the NLT. It says, two people are better off than one. Everybody say two. Did you know that me and you constitutes two? Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other. What's that word? Succeed. Anybody want to succeed in life? Anybody want to succeed in ministry? Well, listen, then we need each other. Yeah. We don't go it alone. We go at it together. That's the way God designed it for us. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. Verse 10, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. Everybody say help. Isn't that a great word? I know there's been times where I've needed help. In fact, that's why God gave me a wife, is because I needed a lot of help. And he said that she would be my help that's fit for my needs. She's my helpmeet. And so I was so glad, because I needed a lot of help. But listen, even in ministry, even in life, it says that they can reach out and help. But it says, but someone who falls alone is in real trouble. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? Verse 11, likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? Verse 12, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. I love that. Because when you're serving alongside somebody, you can look over and say, hey, I've got your back. Now, I love this last part, and it says this, three are even better. Wait, so we have the principle of two, and we said two is really good, right? Two can help succeed, two can reach out, two can keep warm, two can stand back to back, and they're not easily defeated, but three, better. For a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Think about a strand for a second. If you just had a strand, babe, can I pluck a strand of your hair out? And no, I won't do that. But think about just a single strand. Some of you guys have dental floss, you know, you're flossing at night, and what happens? That dental floss strand might break in the middle of you flossing. Anybody happen to you other than, you know, that happens to me all the time. I hate it, right? It's so frustrating. But if you took that one strand and you took two more strands and you braided them together, did you know that you've just tripled the strength? It says a threefold strand is not easily broken. Now, many times we talk about this in terms of marriage because the application of marriage is so readily available to us, because it's two people coming together in a covenant, and those two people with God wrapped around their lives are not easily broken. But the principle is much greater when we start to talk about us serving together. Think about this for a second. When one person gets involved doing something, they can do a lot. The power of one person just putting their mind to something and focusing and working at something, man, they can do a lot. But did you know that when there's relief, when there's help, when there's that unity principle of the Bible, you know, Psalm 103 says how good and pleasant it is when, I'm sorry, Psalm 133, how good and, you got it? You want to read it?
I have it, yes.
She's got it.
And it says, Psalms 133, 1 through 3, it says how wonderful and how beautiful when brothers and sisters get along. Isn't it nice? It's like a costly anointing oil flowing down the head and the beard, flowing down Aaron's beard, flowing down the collar of his priestly robe. It is like the dew on Mount Hermon, flowing down the slopes of Zion. Yes, that's where God commands the blessing and ordains the eternal life.
It's amazing.
Wow.
So think about this. Here's unity, right? When people get together, it says that there the Lord commands a blessing. And when we put our hand to something together, listen, you linked up with the Rock as a servant. You linked up with the Rock as a volunteer. You said, hey, I'll help out with the kids' ministry. I'll help out with SPT. I'll be a camera operator. I would love to serve in the outreaches, whatever it is, right? And what happened when you linked up together with other believers? Right there, God showed up and said, that's blessed. That is powerful. That is effective, and you're going to succeed in what you're doing. That's part of the reason why The Rock is such a great church. It's not because the pastors are so great or because the building is so great or any of those types of things. Here's the reason why, is because there was a people who decided to link up their faith together. And because they got together, God said, hey, right there is a blessing. Right there is something that I can work with. And so tonight, Pastor Jess, I just wanted to go through some of the things that I saw in Ecclesiastes chapter number 4, verse number 9 through verse number 12. And I'm going to make sure that they don't mute your mic so that you can interrupt me, okay? Is that cool? Please, please, please. When you've got a revelation, I want you to just break in, okay? So just go for it.
Before we go there, I just want to say thank you. Can I say thank you?
You can.
I want to say thank you to everyone who has given of their time to volunteer here at The Rock. And I want to say thank you for having to serve at times when we're having extravagant events or services and you're hearing everything that's going on and you're like, I wish I could be out there. I wish I could be hearing the message but you're, you know, wiping a baby's little butt because, you know, there's a diaper that needs to be changed, and yet you're hearing how amazing Girls Night Out is, or you're hearing about Rock On, or you're hearing about, man, Sunday service was so amazing, and you're like, I was over here with the, you know, teenagers today. And I just want to say thank you, because I know sometimes I remember how that felt. Like, I was always serving in church my whole life ever since I was little. I had no choice. I was a pastor's kid. So, but when I remember hearing about God doing some amazing things in their services, I would always feel a little bit like, oh, I wish I could have been in there, you know? And so I know there's those moments, and I just wanted, the Lord was just reminding me of how that felt today, And I wanted to say thank you for sacrificing so others could receive from God and that they could come and they could walk into a clean atmosphere for those of you that help us clean, walk in and be able to drop their kids off and take a breath for themselves and be able to receive from the Word of God without distraction so that they can come and receive from God and then go back out and be the best parents and best marriages that they can have. Thank you for all of you that serve in the ushers and the greeters. Thank you for showing up to your spot. I remember going to a volunteer encouragement one time, and I was the volunteer, and I remember them saying, thank you for showing up, because if you don't show up, there's a void, and you're important, and you're important to the house. And so I just want to say thank you for allowing your time and your effort to come and be a part of this house, a part of this family, and so that there's not a void in the house of God, because all of us have a part and all of us have a purpose, and we together make these things happen. And we believe that God is doing something supernatural in your families. When you give of yourself, God sees that and he goes, oh, there's a blessing on that. And God says he's opening up the windows of heaven to pour out a blessing on you and your family. And so as you give of yourself, and some of you might be in this room going, I just came for church tonight, but I don't serve. Well, guess what? You can sign up to serve somewhere, because this is a blessing not just for others, but it's a blessing for you. Because as you give of yourself, guess what happens? You get blessed. You hear the stories of people that needed to have that one-on-one time with you, and you get to minister to them in those places. Some of those people on the outreaches, do I have any outreach people here tonight? I know we're missing a lot of our volunteers. If you're looking around going, this is all they got, no, they're all still at home. And I know a ton of volunteers that didn't come tonight, but bottom line is they give of themselves. They're here all the time. Our doors are open every day of the week. And we have 8 services here. That's a lot going on. Most churches have a Sunday morning service. We, all of our friends are like, why do you guys have a Sunday night? And we're like, because it's not about us. It's about opening our doors so people could get the Word of God. Well, guess what that means? That means that we need some ushers. That means that we need some childcare workers. That means that we need these things. And we've actually been very criticized about these things. Like, why don't you guys shut down the Saturday service? It's so small. Why don't you shut down the Sunday night service? But you know why, guys? Because it's not about the size. It's about getting Jesus connected with people that need to hear the Word of God. And if we've got to work hard to make sure that the Word of God gets into their hearts, guess what happens? What is that doing for a lifetime of eternity for them? And guess what else? We all get blessed when we support that and we love that. And so that's why we work here at the Heart at the Rock, but we can't do it without you. So can I just say, if you volunteer here, can you give yourselves a hand? Because I just am so grateful and thankful for you. I'm so honored that we get to do ministry alongside of you. And to me, that is success.
Absolutely.
That is success.
Absolutely. You know, Pastor Jessica and I, all of our life together, she mentioned, early on we were tithers, but also early on we were volunteers. You know, before we met each other, we were already serving in our respective churches at the time.
We wouldn't have met if I wasn't volunteering.
That's true. That's true. And when we met, I was asked if I would volunteer to play music in the youth group at The Rock. And so that was a blessing. And even when we went to Bible college, God told us to just sit and learn and attend, and that was like the worst thing for us.
We were like dying.
For 2 years, we were just like, Lord, please let us do something, you know, and God was like, learn, you know. I'm like,
but we studied other churches.
We studied other churches. Well, we did go on an outreach.
We did.
We still went and served on an outreach, and then we served the people that we were working with, and so we, you know, you can take the boy out of the jungle, but you can't take the jungle out of the boy.
Yeah, a lot of people got saved.
Yeah. So we've always just had that in us, is that we're not in this for a paycheck. You know, we're not in this as hirelings.
We've actually done it for free forever.
Yeah.
We actually got paid. It was weird. So bottom line is, we don't do what we do for God because of money.
No.
Nobody does.
We do it because we love the Lord, and we know
because
that's what you guys do.
Because you love God, and you do what you do because you love God.
You know, and when Pastor Jess was talking, I was just thinking, how many of you have ever missed a meal because you had to serve, and so you were rushing to get to church? Anybody ever miss a meal? Look at this. Look at this. Just look around. Look around. Missed a meal. Man, isn't that awesome?
Yet none of us look like we do.
God is faithful.
I think sustains us.
I think there's something in the Word that says he causes my bones to grow fat or something. I think it's in there. So, but praise the Lord, right? Because you're you're like Jesus. What did Jesus say? My meat is to do the will of him who sent me. And that's really what energizes Christians and believers. I'll miss a meal. Why? Because people need help. In fact, that's one of the things that I saw in these scriptures, Ecclesiastes. And it says that two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. Verse number 9, they can help each other succeed. First thing about serving other people is to help others succeed. Yeah. You know, service is other-centered. It's not self-centered. I don't serve because I get something out of it. I serve because I want to help someone else. That's the focus of serving. Now, the amazing thing to me is that when I serve, other people are getting helped, and I'm feeling great about it, right? It's almost like this dual, you know, synergistic relationship that as I'm helping someone else, God is helping me. As I'm pouring out, God's pouring in. And how many know God pours in more than you can give out, right? Yeah. It's an amazing thing because, I mean, you can empty yourself in serving others, and yet God will continue to fill you up. And when you serve others in the power of the Holy Spirit is a river that never runs dry. And he will just refresh you and bring you and fill you and overflow you. Like I said, doesn't matter if you miss a meal. Doesn't matter if you spend your own money. Doesn't matter if you've had a long week. When you start to serve, I mean, how many baby rockers we got? Any lap lovers, they call them, I think? Any of the lap lovers serving in the house tonight? Okay.
They're over there serving now.
Right, sleeping. Now they're loving their home, right? So, but we have this group called Lap Lovers. It's a lot of times it's ladies who just want to rock the babies. And they just...
I think I wouldn't need a volunteer until I have my own grandchildren.
Until you have your own grandchildren?
Yeah. I need to go rock... Marisol, sign me up for a service.
Pastor Mario's already on it. Look at him. He's like, we'll call her this week. We'll be sending out paperwork, But they just love rocking the babies. And think about it. No matter how hard of a week you have, when you hold a baby and you're rocking them back and forth in church, singing sweet songs to them, what pressure do you have? Yeah. What stress?
And I think, like, when we serve, right, success is getting to love people.
Right.
I think the ultimate definition of success is loving people. And when you serve, you're serving because you do love people. And some of you might go, actually, I'm serving because I feel like I need to. But as you do it, guess what happens? You begin to love people the way you need to love them. Because when you put your hand to something, God does something supernatural in you as you serve someone else. And so it's a principle of dying to yourself and giving of yourself. And God pours into you something very supernatural. It's almost addictive. In fact, there's times where we're having to tell our volunteers, you are doing too much. I need you to sit. I need you to sit in a service. I need you to receive. I need you to, like, take a break for a second. Or we have volunteers that are, like, involved in every single one of our ministries. And we as pastors go, listen, we need to have a conversation with them because they're going to get burned out, right? Those are real things. You do get burned out from serving too much. And so there is a balance to this. Right. And I think that success is not based off of numbers. It's not based off of, money or any of those foolish things in the kingdom of God. I think success is when people are truly connecting to the heart of what God is speaking to them and knowing their Father intimately and being able to walk into an atmosphere that when the world is falling apart, the church is standing together and standing strong. And the church is the answer to this lost and dying world. And so we get to be the answer to our community and to the people around us. I truly believe in the local church. I truly believe in what it means to be a part of a local church. Now, are churches all around us and everywhere perfect? No. Our pastors, we are not perfect. We are a hot mess, but God is perfect. And we all are striving to be more like Christ every day. And so in that, God uses us, even in our frailties, even in our weaknesses, because where we are weak, he is strong. And so that is a beautiful picture of success in our volunteerism, in our unity together as the body of Christ. And so church, you guys are doing a wonderful job at succeeding in the body of Christ.
Yeah. And your serving is not just to fill a role like Pastor Jess just mentioned. You know, you may have signed up because the church said, hey, we need this. And you said, well, okay, I can do that. But ultimately, even fulfilling a role, what you're doing is you're helping others to succeed in that. And think about it. Let me just point out a couple. How many children's ministry volunteers, servants, all right? Who's the youngest? I want to know this. Who's the youngest children's ministry volunteer? Who's the youngest? Okay, they're waving a hand. How old? Shout it at me. How old? 11? We got a younger than 11 that serves? I got a hand over here. How old are you? Shout it at me. 10? Okay, we got 10. Is it younger than 10? And you serve in the children's ministry? 8? 8 years old serving in the children's ministry. Can we beat 8? Is there anybody younger than 8? 8 years old. Come on, give it up. Give it up for our 8-year-old children's ministry volunteer. Isn't that awesome? But listen, at a young age, they're serving, and even at an old age, because I saw some others that you're not 8, all right? You might have a 0 behind that, right? But there are others that are serving in the children's ministry that are much older. But what are they doing? They're ensuring the success of children for a lifetime. Because the Bible says, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. Now, we know that that's the responsibility of a parent through parenting and training them up and raising them up, but we're here to supplement and to help with that process. Is that right? So we're actually ensuring the success. How many youth ministry? Youth ministry, I see Pastor Donnie over here. Okay, 1. Shelby, all right. I got some other youth ministry back there. All right, wonderful. Any other youth ministers? Wonderful. We did youth ministry. In fact, we were both serving in the youth ministry as volunteers when we met, like Pastor Jess said. But you're ensuring the success of the youth. You know, those conversations that you're having that they may be afraid to have with their parents, yeah. That you're going, hey, you need to talk to them. And here's what the scriptures say. I was a teenager when I got saved at 15 years old. I'm so grateful for people who volunteered, who came and read the Bible with me and prayed with me. You know, I often talk about it when people get saved. I said, I had a friend that helped me. I literally had a friend. His name was Tom. Tom came and he sat down with me in the church offices. And my pastor is sitting on the front row up here, Pastor Rich Hall. And Tom would take me to church. I don't even know if you knew that Tom was doing this, but he was my SPT, if you will. And so we would meet on like Tuesday nights at the church offices. He had a key, I guess. And so we would meet there, and he would teach me the transferable truths. I think it was Campus Crusade for Christ had the transferable truths back in the day. And it was about prayer and reading the Bible and some basics of the faith, confession and repentance and those things that we teach now. But Tom taught me the basics of the faith, and I'm so grateful that he volunteered. Because, Rich, I don't think you were paying him, were you? No, we weren't paying Tom at the time, but yet.
And then Tom volunteered with us.
Tom eventually made it to the Rock.
And introduced us together.
Yeah, he said, I got a girl for you to meet, and the rest is history. Praise the Lord. But how about SPTs? Any SPTs in the place? All right. Hey, I heard a woot woot over here. Wonderful. All right, SPTs, we love you guys. You guys are on the front lines helping people to succeed as new believers. And that's what this is really all about. The second thing that I saw is in verse number 10. It says, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. The second thing that I see is reach out, reaching out. When we serve, we're reaching out. We're reaching outside of ourselves. We're reaching out to someone else, right? We're helping others succeed, but also we're reaching out. We live in a fallen world, and we need to get outside. We need to get this message out. We need to reach out to those who cannot help themselves. And that's what serving does. And Pastor Jess, this church does a great job of reaching out, doesn't it?
Yes. In fact, we reach out so much that I think that I've been thinking about even what we say is that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Yes.
And I've been here, you know, from the beginning, because when my parents started the church. And so I've watched what God has done with the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. I've seen churches grow because of us. We have populated other churches here in the Inland Empire, and what a gift that we get to be part of that, and that we get to build the house in all different areas. That's a beautiful thing. We have seen ministries start because they've had a heart for people, and the outreach and loving people and going beyond themselves, and I could think of like ministries to prostitutes. I've girls that I know that have started these ministries, they've gone into the strip clubs and blessed them. And all of that came out of our church. They go to different churches at this time, and they're doing different things now. But, you know, God uses outreach beyond. You might be sitting in this service tonight, and you might be feeling something that God is telling you. And it's you, he's pushing you to get outside of yourself. Why? Because ministry is not just in the house of God, but ministry is outside of the house of God. And we've got to reach outside of these borders. We come into the house of God to build ourselves up, to strengthen ourselves, to edify ourselves. And then we go out into the highways and into the byways, and we reach out to those that are lost and are in need. And that is the goal. And so we as Christians, you guys are reaching out. You're giving outside of yourself. So thank you for volunteering here in the house so that we can build people up, so we can strengthen up the body of Christ, so that when Satan comes knocking at their door, guess what happens? It was your reach out that steadied them. Because they knew somebody, they could call someone and be like, hey, I'm having a bad day. Can you pray for me? I don't know what I'm going to do, but I just lost a family member. And we've got Lifeline sending them cards, and we've got flowers going out, and we've got people, you know, being able to call at the front desk. We have volunteers that help us in the office. Did you know that? Like, not everybody's paid, but we have volunteers around here that help us do the things that we need to do to serve our community. And reaching out is just letting go of what we have at the moment to reach out and to take care of someone else's need. And that is a beautiful thing. And so I just think it's a gift. It's a gift that
Absolutely.
This church gets to be the reach out in our community here in the Inland Empire.
It's in our name, the Rock Church World Outreach yep. Center. How many outreach volunteers we got? Come on, outreach. I see all you guys. Love you guys so much. All right, outreach all over. Give these guys a hand. They're doing a great job. Rocking the streets, convalescent.
Well, I'm thinking Mexico with La Roca.
Mexico
they're
missions
always
that
going
reaches
out.
All of our missionaries
in
and missions.
Prison ministry.
Absolutely.
Have, oh my goodness. We have
so many. So many. Yeah.
Overwhelming.
And
Turkey,
loving my city
Christmas.
Events.
Yeah, we actually did this video, the urine video, and I was like, you missed so much. Like, because there was so much that we do, it's almost like we can't even remember everything that we do.
There's a ton that we do to reach out and to go out there. And even those of you that, when it comes Easter time, and you say, well, I'll take a stack of cards yeah. or a stack of flyers or door hangers. How many of you have taken door hangers to your neighborhood? Look at this. Look at this. Give them a hand, because that's, man, that's an amazing ministry. And we don't know. Heaven will tell us how many door hangers brought someone to church because someone reached out and went out there and served.
I have
and
a
volunteers.
Funny story about a door hanger. You
Do
want
you?
To hear it? Yeah.
I want to hear it.
So I have a church member that they actually have gone into the military at this point, but they came to the Rock because they were broken. And they were taking a walk, and one of the door hangers was like under the dirt, like after Easter, like somebody, it had flown away, and it was like under some dirt, and they saw a piece of paper on the ground, and so they picked it up, and it was a Rock Church door hanger, and they were so broken in their life, and they were like, I'm gonna go, and they came, and they got radically saved, and this person, like, served and gave of themselves, actually became a staff member, is now serving in our military here in America. And I just was like, wow, all from a door hanger, all from that very moment. You just never know what God's going to use
amazing.
In these moments.
Absolutely amazing. Well, the next verse says this, likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm, but how can one be warm alone? And I love that statement, keep each other warm. Did you know that when you serve, you're keeping each other warm? Not, don't get weird. Come on now. Don't. But what are we doing? See, we don't want our love to grow cold, do we?
Just explain that a little bit.
We
like,
don't,
I'm trying to visualize that.
I am trying to explain it. We don't want our love to grow cold. We don't want our passion for God to grow dim. Is that right? And when you get around other people stir you up, don't they? That's why we're talking about serving together. You're not serving alone. We don't go at this alone. We're together in this. And we have to fan into flame the gifts of God. Remember, Timothy, here's Timothy, and Paul says, I want you to fan into flame the gift of God that was given to you by the laying on of my hands in prophecy. And Timothy had let those things kind of grow dormant in the inside of himself. Sometimes you need somebody when you get to church to say, hey, come pray with us. And you don't feel like praying. But when you get into that prayer meeting with someone else, what happens? You hear somebody over there spitting fire. Oh my goodness, they're praying. Like, they're connecting with God right now. It's like Pastor Brian giving the announcements this morning. He had everybody all fired up this morning. Why? Because he was on fire, and other people were around him, and they warmed up, and they started going, yeah, preach it, right, for announcement. Who says preach it to announcements? But what was happening, he was keeping his brother warm.
Well, I was thinking about the worship team. Do we have any worship team members in here tonight?
Where's the worship team?
Yeah.
Hey, there they are.
Thank you all.
Why are you guys in the leave early section? You guys going to get out of here? What's going on?
Because they're out of here.
Come on, Grodin. I thought better, man.
Well, Reverend Tiva and Groden and their team, you know, these beautiful saints, they volunteer. They volunteer and they come, and when they give up their gifts and talents, guess what happens? I might walk in with all the weights of the world on me, but as worship begins, it starts to fall off, and it just gets washed away. And then by the end, I'm just like, yes, God, I forgot. Thank you, Jesus. And that is true. It is such a warming. But I love when I come in and there's a company of people worshiping God. It's such a beautiful thing.
I heard a story of a pastor talking about worship one time, and he said, I may not know where the Spirit of God is going at that moment, and I'll look around and see someone else. And when they're like connecting, when Akia is up here and I see that tear go down her cheek, she's on to something, right? And he says it's like bloodhounds. They're tracking something. They're on a trail. They're all sniffing around for something. But sometimes one of those dogs will get onto something, and all of a sudden all the other dogs start going. Why? Because that one dog, they're onto something, right? And so sometimes I'll look around the room, and I see someone else just connecting with God. I'm like, they're onto something, right? And that's what the praise and worship team does. When they're up here worshiping, they're onto something. And it causes us to say, hey, I'm going to follow where they're going right now. I may not have felt that coming in, but they're onto something. So I'm going to connect with where they're at. Oh, man, and all of a sudden I realize, there it is, the fragrance of heaven. I'm caught up into God's presence in that moment because someone else led us. How about this? Serving on the baptism team. Right? There may be people who their love has grown cold and they're coming back to God and they say, I'm going to get baptized, right? And because you sat at the table, you signed them up, you handed them a towel, you helped them up the steps. What about this? Ushers. Yeah. Greeters. I tell you.
Yeah, that smile. Yeah,
just that smile, that handshake. Yeah. Someone could be cold coming in. And the fact that you smiled and said, it's going to be a great day in the house of God, they smile.
Dennis Harworth, when he's like.
He's on fire.
Volunteering.
He warms up everybody
what
on their way in.
Does he say fantabulous?
Fantabulous.
We appreciate the goodness that comes from that.
Well, how about the video team? Yeah. The sound and the lights. And
without them, we wouldn't have sound and lights.
No one would be. And my voice.
I would sound like this.
And my voice would be out by the time we hit 3 services after the end of the weekend.
You couldn't do it. I don't think you could do it.
With the anointing. Come on, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength.
I would have to give you like a warm tea.
Sometimes you got to fan into flame your own gifts, right? If she's going to cause me to be real cold, I'll just be over here fanning it into flame. But we got to keep others
warm.
I'm
so encouraging.
We got to stir each other up, right? That's part of the reason why we serve and part of what we do when
we
serve.
The video team with the online, right?
Absolutely.
We have online hosts. Yes, and they're faithful, man. They
web
have a
team.
Service. They talk to all the people online throughout the service, and people get saved through that. They pull them out of online, and they pray with them. Did you guys know that? That they actually get live prayer online. And so I just want to say thank you to the host because you're not forgotten, and we so appreciate you.
And here's the last one. Verse 12, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. I love this. When we serve, we get each other's back so we won't be broken. Isn't that beautiful? We get each other's back so we won't be broken. I think about the ministry prayer teams that come up here service after service.
Every
after
week.
Every service, they're up here praying for people. What are they doing? I got your back. I'll stand in faith and believe for your healing. Yeah. You need a miracle? I know the God who does miracles. Let's pray. I'll get your back so you won't be broken. I think about our Breaking Free mentors.
Yes.
Where's the Breaking Free mentors at? Come on. All right, hey, there they are, Breaking Free mentors. Wait, you all raised your hand for SPT. I'm just playing. But it is a lot of the same crew. But, I think about that. So many broken people, so many hurting people, they may have come and received the fullness of Jesus Christ. They may have received baptism in the Holy Spirit. But, you know, that's not a cure-all for every issue that we have. We still have to have our minds renewed.
Yep.
We still have to break free from things that would hinder us and hold us back from bitterness and unforgiveness and past hurts. But what is that mentor doing when they receive
a
call?
What about the security team?
Safety team. Well,
yeah, safety team.
They're getting someone's back so that they won't be broken, right?
Well, I've watched them deal with some really hard situations, and they are so loving through them. If they're received with that sometimes they have to get them off campus to keep us all safe.
Sometimes they'll break them out of here, right?
Sometimes they will. They don't mess with them, okay? But a lot of times, if they are just broken or maybe just not in their right mind, they are so gentle with them, and they help them through, and they walk them through. And the medical teams around here, you guys might not even realize this, but we have people that have heart attacks in the middle of service. They have seizures in the middle of service. They've had, like, low diabetes or something, and so they've passed out in the middle of service. And we have these medical teams that are just sitting in the room. You don't even know it. And they have a way of removing them from the service. Maybe if you're sitting in that area, you know it's going on, but the whole service does not know. And they remove them, and they take care of them, and they love on them, they pray over them, and then, you know, they do whatever is needed for that person. So all these people have someone else's back, and I just want to say thank you for that. Thank you for being in those positions.
Man. Well, we don't have time to go through every ministry, and I know that there are many more volunteers here that we didn't mention your ministry, but know that you're valuable. Know that you're very precious. The Bible says that God is not unjust to forget your labor of love, your care for all the saints, and the things that you've done in his name. When you serve, you're serving alongside the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the one trimming the wicks, pouring in the oil, and tending to the flame of his church. And you're working alongside Jesus because Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so we're building what God is building, but we're not at it alone. We're at it together. And as we serve, what are we doing? We're helping others to succeed. We're reaching out. We're keeping other people warm. And we got each other's backs so we won't be broken.
And I want to close with this scripture. It's Romans 8, 28. It's one of my favorite scriptures. You may know it. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. His purpose is a setting forth. It is a strengthening. It is a going before. And God is going before you. He is strengthening you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. And so thank you for serving in this house, but thank you for connecting and being family with us in this house. Thank you for trusting Dan and I to be your pastors. We love you guys so much. And thank you for all the other pastors. I'm looking at Pastor Mario, Michelle, and Brian, and Melissa, and Joelle, and Joanna, and Donnie, and Nicole, and Paul, and Tracy, and Dr. Kerbernick, and Linda, and Pastor Rich, and Pastor Teresa, Pastor Mike, and Sue. All of us work hard, but you guys work with us. We could not
Pastor
do...
Pastor Tony's over there, too.
Pastor Antonio back
row.
There. Yes, we could not do what we do without you. So we as the pastoral team, we just say thank you, we honor you, and we love you very much.
The strength of the wolf is in the pack, and the strength of the pack.
So let's keep going. We have a whole bunch ahead of us this year.
Yeah.
It's going to be so good, like fire.
Well, you guys want some good news? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So Chaplain Paul came in and got something started after second service today, and I kind of asked around. And so, Pastor Antonio, if you have some numbers, you can run up here and give them to me and any of the other departments if you've got those. But we had the Volunteer Expo today, okay? So many of you guys are already serving. But there's a whole lot more people that are going to join in serving this year. So I just want to read you, because we read some needs. And after we read those needs, a bunch of people came over to the tables and started to sign up. So we had 6 people sign up for blood pressure screening, 3 people sign up to help out with Lifeline, 20 people help up to sign with the welcome area, 60 more people signed up with interest for outreach. Come on. We had 17 medical professionals sign up to help out with the medical. We had 7 for the parking lot. You guys can come up here. It's okay. Come on.
Yeah, Mario, Michelle. Doing, yeah, you
come
guys
on. If you guys, got numbers, come up here, because I don't got you on
if
my paper.
If you're a pastor and you got your numbers, and we don't have them.
And I don't do too good with reading lips, so that would be the deaf ministry, okay? But 7 parking lot, 6 safety team members, 9 hospitality, 3 ushers. I like this one. 6 people signed up to help out with the web department. 1 person signed up to help out with our lighting. 6 people helped sign up to help out with video. 5 for audio. So there's 5 that are signed up for audio. So Pastor Johnny, hopefully you get one for youth over there. We had 1 for social media, And in the leave early section, okay, we have 14 sign up for worship team. Praise the Lord for that. So that's good. You got a mic?
Children's Ministry had 84 Woo-hoo! People sign up. Praise yeah. God. Praise God. That's Plus awesome. 85, Pastor Jess.
Oh, 85. Yeah, I'd be in service tonight. So
we already got you scheduled. We got you scheduled already.
Man, that's Pastor Tony.
There was about 6 potential small group leaders, and I think about 6 people signed up to hang out in Raya, and then 4 transportation, 4 that signed up for transportation.
Wonderful. 4 transportation. That's awesome. And man, you know, we needed transportation too, because they've had to tell people, hey, we can't pick you up because there's no one to drive the shuttles. And so that's good news, because I never want to tell people no when it comes
Absolutely.
To coming to church, you know. So my goodness, I'll sign up for transportation. If she's rocking babies, I'll be driving, all right? So
well, praise the Lord. Somebody else has got to preach, right? Like Brian was going today, so.
Sunday nights, I'll do. But praise the Lord. Well, just know that we love you guys. And we're so grateful. Yeah. It's good to be in ministry with you. Tonight after church, we've got some coffee. We got some pastries.
Yep.
And so, yeah, praise the Lord back there. All right. Yeah, that's for you. Okay. but hang out with your friends, with your fellow
How
servants.
How about get outside of yourself and meet someone you don't know?
Get to know somebody. All right.
Your
fellow
name
servers.
Is.
And just have a cup of coffee. I know it can be a little chilly, but let it warm you up. We got decaf out there in case it makes you have the jitters. And grab a pastry and just know that we love you. And we know that there's no compensation or gift that we could give that can recompense for the service you do here at The Rock. But do know that God, there's a reward waiting for you that God will give you in eternity. Would you stand and let us pray for you as we prepare to dismiss tonight? And Pastor Jess, I'll start. Why don't you finish and then bless us as we go. Father, we thank you tonight, God, for the wonderful privilege we have to serve in your house, God. I thank you for every servant currently and every future servant, God, that puts their hand to something here at The Rock, God. They're very, very special to us. And God, we know that they're very special to you as well. Because you willingly gave yourself. You willingly served. God, you said that you did not come to be served, but to serve and to give your life as a ransom for many. And God, I thank you that when people are serving, they're operating in the very character of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that you bless them. God, bless them with strength this year, God. Bless their homes. Bless their dreams and vision, God. Bless their ministries, God. May they be multiplied in effectiveness in helping others, God. Lifting them up. Lord, reaching out. I pray that they're effective, God, as they fan into flame the gifts of God that are upon them. I pray, Lord, spiritual gifts in greater measure, God. I pray for the miracles, the signs, and the wonders to be prevalent in their ministry, God, everywhere they go, not just in church, but outside of the walls of this building, God, in their homes, in their communities, in the streets, God, all over the world in missions as they serve the nations. Lord, I thank you, God, that there's going to be a supernatural power and strength that comes upon each and every one of them. That they move in that power. God, that they lift each other up. They lift up your name, God. And Lord, that as they have each other's back, God, that we will not be broken, God. We're not as strong as the weakest link, God. We're as strong as you strengthen us to be. And so, Father, we praise you tonight. And we thank you in Jesus' name.
And Lord, we just come before you as the body of Christ. And Lord, we ask for revival this next year. Lord, we ask for salvations this next year. Lord, we ask, God, that you would ignite the Inland Empire with your love, God, and with your favor and with your goodness. And Lord, that you would strengthen our volunteers and their teams, God, and build this house, Lord, so that we are a firm foundation for the growth that you're going to bring. And Lord, we thank you, God, that you are going to bless every volunteer in this room. God, go before them. And God, bring them favor. I ask for fresh anointing for their families, fresh anointing over their marriages, fresh anointing in their finances. God, give them wisdom, God, as they're seeking you on things and what to do next in their life and where to go next, God. God, we pray and we ask that, God, that you would speak speak to them, God. Lord, that they would hear your voice in a deeper way this year, God. Lord, that there would be a deep hunger that pours out of us, our families, and our children for you this year, God. Lord, we ask, God, that there would be a revelation of your spirit that pours out upon us, God, because we as a church, God, we want to know more of you. God, we need more of you. And so, Lord, we ask that you would ignite us as your leaders, as your volunteers, God, as the people of God here in the Inland Empire, God, light us up so that we could go out into all the world and preach the good news of the gospel to those that are broken and lost. And so, Lord, I pray, God, that there'd be a new boldness that comes upon us as leaders and volunteers, God. Lord, that you would give us open doors to witness and be a witness to all those, God, that we come across. And Lord, we thank you, God, that you are good Father. We thank you that you are good God. And Lord, we honor you tonight, and we thank you that we get to come into this house and that we have each other, God. And Lord, that we have you. And Lord, that you carried us through. And God, you are going to carry us to the next level, to the next place. And Lord, we ask, God, Maranatha, come for your church. But until that day, Lord, we stand in the gap and we say we are here as your servants. Use us, God. Use our hands and our feet and anoint them to go out and to be all that you need us to be. In Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, we thank you and we honor you. We declare out loud and in faith together that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
God bless y'all. We love you guys.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs, we call them spiritual personal trainers, to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.